Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week because we like to talk about needlework. Mm-hmm. Yep. No stitch hour tonight. Sunday is going to be, this is going to be different. Off the reservation because it's knitting and crochet. But it's Emily and Ken, husband and wife, Emily and Ken, their company is Dundee and Lee. And they do these big installation designs. And so, like, they'll knit characters, and they did one from a children's book. And they'll knit characters and knit chairs and walls and fireplaces and all the things and recreate a scene of some
like
kind.
Like real-life size or small size?
Yeah, like... Essentially, life size, huge.
Oh,
huge.
Wow!
Yeah,
that's cool.
Right. It's really a neat thing, and they contacted me to see if we wanted to talk about it, and I said knitting, no thanks. And then I looked at their stuff, and I wrote back to him right away and said, change my mind. we got to talk about this. Yeah, it's really Dundee and Lee is their company, but it's okay. Really cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, haven't heard of it.
Nope, was new to me. She used to be, she used to work in, they live in Colorado now, but she used to live in basically in Hollywood. And she was working on sets and knitting. She taught herself to knit just because hours and hours of doing nothing and, you know, it was something to do.
Yeah.
And then people started asking her to make stuff for them.
Oh,
And she kept doing it, and then next thing you know, she opens up a business.
Oh, wow.
And she's knitting stuff for people.
She must be fast.
Yeah, and then somebody gave her a knitting machine.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't use it like a factory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's not just sitting there cranking out sweaters like a factory. She uses it so that when she's creating something, say she has a row of stitches that might have three different colors in it or might have a stitch change or something, that she uses the machine so she can set it all up and then do that row with the machine and then set up the next row. So she's using it to speed up the actual stitching part so she can create more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because knitting takes a while.
Right.
And it's like...
Yeah, that.
The same. It's just the same little all the time.
Well, she's using it.
Sometimes I fall asleep. It puts me to sleep.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. But she's using it so that she can get more of her ideas created faster.
Okay.
But she still does an awful lot of hand knitting. She says that she much prefers hand knitting. And then.
Right.
Yuck. And then he created needles, big fat needles, so you can do fat stitching, and set up an Etsy shop. He was talking to kids in a sounded like it was a lower income school, and they were talking about how do you get out of this poverty situation, and he was telling them that, you know, today you can start a business online. If you have something to sell, you can start a business online. And he said he'd never done it when he was talking to him. He'd never done it, but he knew it was possible. And so then he had to basically cover his butt by creating a business.
And
I forget how it goes, but anyway, he started making these needles, giant needles for big knitting. And then she found him on Etsy. And they started collaborating, and the next thing they know, they met, and then they basically fell in love and got married, and now they have a business. It's a whole Hollywood thing. It's literally a Hollywood thing. Yeah,
it's like a movie.
Yep, it is. It is. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Yep.
Oh my gosh!
It's in like, real life, yeah,
like you on the Hallmark Channel.
Right. Exactly. Because when they're telling the story, and I made them go through the whole thing. When they're telling the story, I'm just sitting there going, this is Hallmark. This is a movie. How is this real? And it's real. Yep.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's Sunday. Yeah, something different, but very cool. Very cool. Yep. The Fiber Talk Needle Arts Weekend. Yes, there's still time. There's still room. Sign up. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend. You can participate. And you can still sign up. The room block is not there anymore. So I'm not sure what the room rate is. But if you sign up, and I don't know if we can coerce them into getting you the room rate if you sign up. But, you know, let them know what you're coming for if you sign up. And then we'll see what can be done. I don't know. You know, the hotels are challenging to work with. How about if I say that?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you can come all weekend, or you can just come on Saturday. So if you don't want to spend the whole weekend, come on Saturday. We'll all be there. We got 8 classes going on Saturday. We got Jennifer at a table with Tamari and slow stitching, and she's doing a lot of quilting and wool applique now, so who knows what she'll have. So
yeah, I don't know if I can bring one. I can't bring that project that I'm working on.
Can't show one.
I can't risk somebody taking pictures and putting it online and getting in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have that. We'll have a help table. We've got show and tell. We were talking the other day. We might have some drawings for things. Lunch on Saturday, the whole shoot and match. So if you want to come for the weekend or just Saturday, you can do either one. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend, and you can participate. We'd be glad to have you. Also, we have a new thing, Fiber Talk Patreon. So it's patreon.com/fibertalk. And you can subscribe there. And we have, I put up a video the other day for how I fixed the Case Creation Z-frame stand so it actually works. And then we just posted yesterday a new series. We're trying a new series, Fiber Talk Reacts, where we're taking a design and giving our reaction. So we took Orna Willis's new design, New World, which she's offering as a class through Shining Needle Society, and you have to sign up by March 12th to get that. So Shining Needle Society to get it. And we talked about it. We reacted to it. What do we see? What do we like? What are some things we change? And so on and so forth. And we had a great time doing it. So that's going to be the first in a series of these things that'll be on Patreon. And then going to collaborate with Jessica Grimm from Bavaria each month and with some of her work and do little interviews there. So you can subscribe, patreon.com/fibertalk, and that will be another way to get additional content. Yes.
Very nice.
So, and we got more things coming. And I just added a new level. So a basic subscription is $5, and I added a $10 subscription because we're also putting into play some live Zoom sessions. So for $10 people, then you'll be able to do live Zoom sessions. So that's coming up in the future, but not right at the minute. No. So, and Jennifer, you've been quilting your brains out.
Yep.
And when you're not doing that, you're Sue Spargoing.
Yep, which I can't show.
Can't show that. I think that's going to be I think that's going to be an active, like a verb, Sue Spargoing.
Yeah, it's a verb in my house.
Yeah.
I'm going to go upstairs and Sue Spargo.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what we're going to do. Because you got, what you did that in, was it, you went to Maine.
October, yeah.
Yeah.
So in October, I did the trade winds. And I did, you know, the seahorses, which I did do some, here the lighting's better here.
Yeah.
I did do some embellishment on those. And then the rest of it, you just did the background and putting it all on. And then
so cool.
I got the needle roll, which I need to finish my needle roll so I can put my needles in it.
Yep.
But I'm doing the bloomer block of the month now. We're not allowed to show pictures or anything, so.
Yeah.
It's secret, but you can see little on her YouTube. She does some tutorials for stitches. Uh-huh. And you can see snippets of kind of what we're doing, so.
Yeah. Because what the deal is, if you take a class from Sue or get involved in one of her things, then you can't show it till she shows it.
Well, she's almost like developing the pattern just like a couple of months ahead of us.
Okay.
And then she'll put it like this was a block of the month like last year or the year before.
Okay.
And then I went to the thing in Maine in October, and that was the first time that she did the book. The book came out, and then that's when it was like published.
Okay.
For anybody who hadn't done the block of the month.
Okay.
So that's kind of how she does it. So you're like maybe a year behind or a few months behind the block of the month people.
So during the block of the month, you couldn't show anything, but once you had the workshop, then you could show it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because she had a book out. It's published. It was on her website. It's everywhere.
Okay.
So.
And then the things you're working on, which I can tell you folks that I got a little preview before the show, and they are really pretty cool stuff. So that could really be another year before you're able to show that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be a while.
Well, it's pretty cool, I have to say.
Yeah. And then the Colchester Mills Fabrics quilt shop out here in Connecticut is doing a UFO challenge.
Okay.
And so I joined that because I've got so many quilting things. So I hand quilted my placemats.
Oh boy.
See my hand quilting there.
For people who are listening, we'll get a couple pictures for you.
Oh yeah. I did bigger stitch hand quilting. It's not technically big stitch. It's bigger stitch.
Yeah.
So, and with 12 weight sulky, I think.
Uh-huh. Used. Yeah.
So I got these quilt and bound. These have been ready to be quilted since 2019. Like spring of 2019.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah. So finally got them done. And then my next project is a quilt top that I made, and I couldn't remember what I made it for. And then I finally remembered it was this Angela Walters. She does free motion hand quilting, and she has a YouTube, and I don't even remember what it's called. She might have changed the name by now. And she was like kind of teaching you how to do different free motion stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I think she was doing this like, make this quilt, and then each week or each month we'll do a different pattern in each square.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my long arm machine. I have a long arm machine, but it's not with the big rollers. It's more like an embroidery hoop, but it's still a proper long arm.
Okay.
My long arm got picked up by close to home to get serviced.
Oh.
Before I use it, because it's been down in the basement, dusty. I got the floors refinished, so it's been had dust and who knows what's in it. I don't want to ruin it.
Right.
By using it dirty.
Yeah.
So
you're having it basically refurbished so you can use it.
Yes. So they're cleaning it, and then they'll bring it, and then I'll start working on that.
Are those I've seen one. My dad's wife had one, which she didn't know how to use it. But what a monstrosity. And
they can be.
Yeah, this was giant. So are those finicky? I mean, are they finicky or are they pretty stable?
I'm sure.
Once?
I think they're pretty good. I mean, as long as you know how to use it properly.
Yeah.
And each machine, I'm sure, has its own little personality and quirks.
Yeah.
So, and it depends on what you're trying to do. I don't have a computerized thing. It's all free motion for me. I don't have the computer that you can set up the thing and it'll go. I don't have that.
Oh, she had Yeah, she had a computer head on it, and it got all jammed up. I don't think she knew what she was doing.
I don't
just
have that.
Sat there, yeah.
Not until I get a proper house, bigger with a proper room to put it in. Maybe then I'll upgrade and get one with the proper rollers and stuff. But for now, it fits in my basement. It didn't cost me a lot of money.
So you just put your piece in a hoop, a big hoop, and then
big frame.
Uh huh.
And then it has clampies.
Uh huh.
And then you lay it on, and you clampy it on, and then you go to town. Doo loo loo.
Oh, you move.
You need to move it. You unclamp it.
Oh, so you move the head.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a proper moving free motion quilting machine. It just doesn't have the big rollers.
Okay.
You have to baste your quilt first.
Oh.
With the rollers, you put the top on, the batting's in the middle, and then the roller, the back, is on the bottom. And it kind of bastes as you go. You don't have to baste separately.
Oh.
But on this, you have to baste separately.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay, this is, you know, I just have to learn. So how do you maintain the pattern? Is there something in the head that makes sure, or you're complete free form
practice. Oh. It just takes practice in moving the machine and getting used to how it moves. And and she says to get like a piece of paper and take a pencil and move your arm like you would with the machine and draw the patterns, practice it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
And then you know, it's after a while, it's muscle memory. So
yeah. Oh, fun. Because for me, quilts, there was just some big quilting event. So I was seeing stuff on Facebook and Instagram. I don't know where it was. But to me,
it was Road to California.
I don't know.
Road to California happened out in California.
Hmm.
I think something else happened too, but I don't.
Yeah. I didn't pay attention. I was just looking at the quilts. But it's the quilting for me that is the cool part. What some people do with that quilting is much more impressive to me than the fabric and the patterns.
Sometimes just the right quilting can make a quilt really. I've seen the wrong quilting on a quilt that just
ruins it.
You know, it doesn't ruin it. It just. It's not the best for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Detracts.
Like, yeah. So, or you see some that it needs more, or sometimes they do too much on it, and it's like, there can be too much.
Yeah, like anything.
More isn't always better, so. Yeah. just depends.
Yet, just amazing to me what, you know, what people can do and how they enhance the fabric design.
It's
whole new world. So your long arm quilter is basically, the technique is basically like machine embroidery, where you're moving.
I guess, but you're using only one color of thread, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's not, you're not going making a.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's not the same. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have a baby lock coronet.
Yeah.
With a 6-foot frame. That's what I have.
6 foot. Holy smokes. And there's bigger than
that? Small. Yeah.
Really?
Like 12, 14 feet for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 12 foot I think is about the smallest you really should get. 14 foot will handle really big size, like king size quilts that would even have a little overhang, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
And those, just the base thing for the whole setup, maybe 15,000-20,000. And then if you want the computer, another 10.
Oh, my.
It's like buying a car.
Yeah. So you buy,
that much.
You buy one of those, you better have a use for it every day.
You better be serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I already feel a little guilty for not using mine, and it was only like $6,000 when I bought it, so it wasn't that bad.
Wow. So there's a company that comes and gets it and knows what to do and cleans it all up and oils
it. I bought it from Close to Home, and since I bought it from them, they even if you don't buy it from them, they'll service it, but they're who I bought it from, and they come. I went in. I'm like, oh, I need to get it serviced. I'm like, okay, we'll be out Monday morning at 10:30. I'm like, okay. Here they came.
Wow. Oh, Well,
get it back maybe later this week.
It'll be interesting to see what what you do with it.
It's been a while. I free motioned. I made my mom an applique quilt, like an Americana themed applique quilt some years ago. And I free motioned that on it. And it came out really well, actually. I was like, and it was, since it was appliqueing in little bits, I did each section different.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I did stuff for each little, and it came out really nice. I don't, my mom has it, so.
Yeah.
Wow. It's really cute.
Oh.
But yeah, all the hand applique first. And then.
Yeah. So cool. So cool.
Yep. So I've been sewing, quilting, some of it's with handwork, some of it's machine work.
Yeah.
Suspargoing. Suspargo is a verb.
Yep.
To suspargo is to make an ultra fancy embroidery on your fabric, particularly wool.
There we go. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I say.
So you say, yep. Well, let's see. I finished Lady Mary, which I posted about that. Yeah,
that was very pretty.
That came out nice. I like that one.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's two of the women from Downton Abbey that I've done. So I have to do the mom and who's the grandma? The Duchess? What's her? Oh, I forget.
I don't remember.
Dowager Queen something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't watched that in a long time.
So I have those. Yeah, so I got two more to go because I want to do the whole series. But yeah, they're very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I went crazy. So this past weekend, I got out of control. Literally out of control. And I set up four different projects.
Oh, wow.
Why, I don't know. I just started cutting and... And I still got two pieces of linen to iron, but I just started and I was just going and having fun doing it. So one of them is Modern Folk Embroidery's Little Bird Quaker Sampler.
That's so cute, pretty.
Yeah, I've got several of Jacob's things. These are older ones, but I really like this one. Yeah, so I'm doing that one on this. Which I like that. So,
yeah, it's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah. So looking,
I love that color.
That mindless single color, you know?
Yeah. All you have to worry about is just going in the right spot.
Right. Exactly. And then I've had this one forever. It's, I don't know why I like it, but I've liked it the minute I saw it. Bower Birds. It's from Hello from Liz Matthews.
Oh, yes. That is super cute. I liked that one, too.
Yeah.
I remember when that came out, I was like, ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had it sitting around for however long. It's been several years. Yeah. So, and I've been wanting to do a brown and yellow one. So that's going to be that.
Oh, yeah. That'll be pretty.
Cosmo thread from the Sassy Jacks Cosmo Thread Club.
Nice.
But yeah, I like that. So
that'll be gorgeous. Is that a solid yellow or a tonal?
No, solid yellow. It's 2004 Cosmo 2004.
Yeah. And I know you don't like big variegation. I didn't know how you felt about tonal variegation.
I can tolerate it, but yeah, I like my solids. No, this is a solid color. So, and this is a dark cobblestone, 40 count. Everything's 40
count. That's pretty.
So, yeah. So, going to do that. And then it was spur of the moment. Every time I've been wanting to start a project. I set up, long time ago, I set up a Fox and Rabbit's Botany Bay sampler. Mm-hmm. And I got all the threads done.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember you working on, you did all that work on the tags.
Right. Yeah. The tags. Cause these tags from, I forget the name of it, but anyway, these acrylic tags, and then you can stitch in them. They have a little grid you can stitch in. So I did a different stitch for every one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spent a whole weekend.
Project in itself.
Right. Yeah, it was a ridiculous waste of time, but it was pretty fun. So whatever. So
you had fun doing it. Whatever.
Yeah, and that's been sitting around in a bag for I don't know a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was during the pandemic I did that. It's been sitting around
a while ago. Yeah.
And every time it's going to be, well, I set this thing up. How come I don't do the Botany Bay sampler? And it's a big sampler from Fox and Rabbit. So I started it.
Oh, yay. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So that'll be cool. So I'm starting that too. So there's three of the five. The other two I don't have right here. But yeah, I just went nuts. So I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't cross-stitched in probably a month.
Yeah?
But I've been stitching.
Yeah.
It's just not in X's.
Well, look at all, but look what all you've created. I mean, you got a tremendous amount of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Done a lot. And the machine stitching, too, that I've been doing.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, you know, that's it's interesting because that's the way it ebbs and flows, you know?
Yeah. If anybody wants to see my machine stitching. Lots of little half square triangles for the Unity stitch along kind of gathering. So you do it on the little papers, you cut the papers apart. So they're just perfect. And it's a mystery. So we don't know what the pattern is. So right now, I think we've made 500 and some sets. Every week you make
of those 500 of those triangle things. Holy smokes.
This is 72.
And you have no idea what they're going to become. Whoa.
So I've been very, very busy doing that, going through all of my fabric scraps, pulling out bits. And she told us, like, you know, use darks and lights for your triangles because the background is a medium. So here's my background. It's pink, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
7 yards.
Oh, jeez.
Pink. Yeah. So I'm ready.
Wow.
So that's,
Oh, and I forgot to mention Botany Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it all in Cosmo threads. Kim at Sassy Jacks. Kim at Sassy Jacks did a conversion for me a long time ago. Did a conversion to Cosmo threads. So I'm really excited about doing that. Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. So this, you're doing all those squares, all those triangles, and you're going to put them together in a quilt in some pattern that you don't know what it is.
Yep.
Hope you like it. Wow.
Yeah. Well, this is like the seventh. She's done lots of these mystery quilt alongs, and apparently they're all awesome. Like all the quilts are gorgeous. So
yeah.
Other people have done them, and they're like, just trust Lisa. She knows what she's doing.
Okay.
I guess it's based off a friend of hers has this big antique quilt that every time she goes over, her friend puts it on the bed because she knows she loves it so much. So she got her permission to kind of recreate it and do this mystery thing. So.
Okay.
So she says we're going to love it. So
okay. Okay. Along for the ride. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And it's easy. And I'm using up scraps and stuff I have from in the house already.
Well, that's a huge plus right there, huh?
All my bins, yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. Yep.
So, yep.
It really, I think I said this before, it's just interesting how the ebbs and flows of stitching needlework interest come and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't cross-stitched in a while, and yeah.
And I've been, last year, I wanted to work on the quilts, and it just didn't happen. And then this year, and then Colchester Mills is having that UFO challenge for their 50th year anniversary. And I'm like, that's perfect, because I have I have probably 11 more just quilting projects I could, because you can put on anything. You could put cross-stitch projects, knitting projects, sewing clothes. Like, it's not just quilting.
Yeah.
They're needlepoint, they're like, finish your needlepoint, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like anything, and I just put all quilting, and I could still fill a whole nother page of just quilting.
Hey,
And that's one of those things that Bob, because, yeah, cross-stitch kits and stuff, they're smaller. They're a little expensive, not as expensive as quilts. And when I have tops, quilt tops finished that just need quilted and bound, and they've been sitting down there for years, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's a lot more money than cross-stitch.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, that's the thing. When you can do different types of things, different techniques, different types, then, yeah, you get tired of doing one thing. You just go on and do something else, and keeps the interest level going no matter what. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's not to say that I'm not going to cross-stitch. I just haven't in, like, the last month.
Yeah. Well, you get in a groove, and you just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, and this quilting and Sue Spargoing, like, when you start doing it, it's so consuming. And it, you know, before you know it, 3 hours have gone by.
Yeah.
And with cross-stitch, I'm too fidgety. I don't know, lately. It's just been lately. I guess that's a sign that I needed to change up my whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't just sit down and go.
Yeah.
Too distracted.
Hey.
That's how I am. I flip-flop on, like, what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I have phases.
It's okay. It's okay. Keeps the juices flowing.
Yes.
Oh, and one more thing. I keep forgetting all the little things. If you're coming to the Fiber Talk retreat, you can have Kim bring you, or you can order stuff through Kim, and she will bring it, so you can save postage. So you can send an email with your order, but in the subject line, you have to put Fiber Talk weekend or Fiber Talk retreat or whatever, some designation, and place your order, and then Kim will bring it. Or you can order through the website system, and then that automatically charges shipping. But then in the notes section, put Fiber Talk retreat or Fiber Talk weekend, and then Kim will bring it, and she'll refund your shipping. So you can save shipping, especially if you're getting a bunch of stuff that shipping would get healthy. You can save some money that way. So that's another, yet another reason to join us. Yes.
And cool, because, yeah, isn't the weekend or the Nashville market coming up?
Yes, this coming weekend. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can order. Yeah, you can have her bring charts from that, too. Yep. But order quickly. Don't wait till she's leaving.
Yeah, because then she's got to pack and stuff.
Right.
She can't be fielding orders while she's trying to pack and get out the door.
Yeah.
You know?
Give so, but anyway, so there's a real benefit if you're coming to the weekend. She'll bring your order, and it's, you know, like I said, if you got a bunch of stuff you want, it's a good way to save on shipping. So,
yeah.
I did Cindy and I talked a couple weeks ago about Joanne's closing, and. You know, whether it was going to damage the needlework market, which I don't think it will. But it was interesting because we were talking about, I don't think we talked in the show, but afterwards we were talking about how people are posting about, oh, no, Joann's is closing. Oh, you know, what a terrible thing it is. And, you know, I said that I've been tempted more than once to post in those things and say, you know, please support your local needlework stores because we need them. And just, you know, as a reminder that we need to support those. And several responses were, I don't have one near me. There's one 2 hours away. There's one 45 minutes away. One was half an hour, but if the, you know.
45 minutes doesn't, that's still close.
That's nothing. Yeah.
As far but, as I'm concerned.
Right. I'm with you. 45 minutes, who cares?
That's local.
Yeah.
So, even but, in Connecticut, that's local.
So, yeah, especially there in Connecticut. Yeah, that could be three blocks from your house.
An hour can take me across the state. So, I can get across the state in an hour.
Yeah. So,
Texas 45 minutes is just like going around the corner, you know?
Right.
When I lived there, it was nothing.
Yeah. But it bothered me because the responses I got were that. Mm-hmm. And so then I posted and said, and some others did, like a couple shops, we'll ship to you. Because I tried to impress upon people gently that these days you just call a shop, or most of them have an online shopping thing,
mm-hmm.
and they'll send it to you.
Right.
And
Like that Alex Paris that Cindy talked about.
Yeah.
That's Thistle Needleworks in Connecticut. Okay. Where I go. When they first bought the website, it was named that, and they didn't change it for whatever reason because they had existing customers.
Yeah.
But that is Thistle Needleworks website.
Oh, okay. Okay. One and the same.
So.
Yeah. But it just kind of, today you don't need to have a store down the street.
No.
You know, and then people were posting pictures of their receipts from all the floss they bought from Joanne's.
I saw one of those.
Oh, man, and $300 worth of floss. And
I don't want all that in my house. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You know how I feel about having my little bag of over floss. That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
That's me, though. I think I'm weird.
Yeah. But I just, it's support, support your local stores. And yeah, the floss costs a little more. But when you go into that store and you need help, then that's how that gets paid for.
Yeah, and it wasn't cheap at Joanne's anymore anyway either. So
that's what some people said, was that even the sales stuff was not even that low.
Oh, I remember back when I started cross-stitching, it was like 20 cents a skein. Then I remember I went to the Netherlands, and it was like $1.50. And I was like, oh my gosh, why is it so expensive?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody posted a thing where they took you through the history of, I think it was House of Fabrics took over and was buying up little fabric shops. I think that's right. But then Joann's came in and bought up little fabric shops, and they told the whole story about how these big box stores eliminated all these mom and pop.
Really?
Fabric stores.
I didn't know that.
And so then you end up with a Joann's serving a community. And that's basically your one option. So then now Joann's goes out of business, and now what? I got nothing.
Well, I mean, I guess where I, like, that Ruth Stitchery in Colorado Springs has been around since, like, the 80s. And they were, I don't think, ever affected by it. They're still going strong.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that happened. Maybe it was smaller communities or something.
Well, this story, it sounded like it was that kind of a thing.
I remember back in the day when Joann was just fabric. It was a store for clothing fabric, because my mom used to make our clothes and stuff. And it was all the fabrics, and it didn't have all the crafty stuff. I think that, because all of those apparel fabrics used to be in, like, more normal, just fabric stores.
Right, right.
But it wasn't a quilting fabric store. It was an everything fabric store.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember when the changeover happened. I remember going to Texas and discovering Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, and back then, they had Mill Hill Beads in the Hobby Lobby, and they had Krynek.
Yeah.
And they were selling stuff that now is like specialty, and you can't, they moved out of there.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the changeover.
Well, I'm sure it was gradual to the point where you don't notice it,
And it might have, and I wasn't quilting back then. I couldn't afford it.
No.
I could afford to cross stitch. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and then I came back to the States, and there's Joann. So
right everywhere, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this story kind of laid out how it came to be that these small shops went away, and it just underscored the importance of these local needlework shops.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's like this Botany Bay thing. You can't go to a big box store and say, "Will you do a conversion from DMC to Cosmo threads?" But you can go to Sassy Jack Stitchery, and Kim did that conversion for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that takes some time. But, you know, I didn't have the time, and I certainly didn't have the skill to do it, and she knew. And so she took the time and did that. And, of course, then I bought, you know, all the threads and the linen.
Hopefully she wrote it down somewhere so when people want to do it.
She did.
She's smart enough to do that.
Right. But even if she didn't, like, I won't give that out.
Right, because it's her.
Right.
That's almost like her intellectual property.
Right.
That part. And I've heard other people say on other ones, like, this is so-and-so's conversion, but I'm not going to tell you. You contact them.
Right.
And, you know, like Country Sampler does a lot of conversions. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy the kit. Like that bunny pillow I did, I guess that was a conversion. And then they sold the kit with their conversion in it. So it wasn't posted anywhere like what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah,
I
won't
do that a lot.
Yeah. I won't share this. You contact Kim, and if Kim didn't write it down, I'll send her a copy of what she wrote down for me.
Right.
But no, you got to go through there. It was Vicki Clayton, her silks. She does conversions of all kinds of charts, but you buy from her. And
that's like doing a stitch guide for like a painted canvas. It's kind of the same concept.
Yep. Yeah.
Stitch guide is, you know, they worked on it. They laid it out. So that's their kind of property.
Right. Yep. But that's, so Kim put that all together, shipped me threads, linen, you know, the linen she used, the whole thing. And so I bought the whole kit. But that's where... You know, one of many values that we have for local needlework stores. And you can't go into Hobby Lobby, Michael's, Joann's. You know, they don't even have a clue.
No.
All they can do is point you to aisle 44 where the floss is at, you know, and that's...
Yeah.
That's it. So...
And then that's a mess because kids and everybody put stuff everywhere. Right. And then you have to... Then my mom is especially... She gets all in and she starts sorting them. I'm like, Mom...
Oh, no. No.
She just can't help herself.
Yeah.
To a little extent, but she does it.
Oh, boy. No, I won't. I don't buy from there. And, you know, I don't buy from there anyway because of all the people who've pawed through all the stuff. I don't, you know, I'm sure I'm being really over the top, but I just kind of feel like, no, I'll get it from a needlework store where it's been stored in drawers and it's kept clean and no dust. And weird like that.
Yeah. I know that Thistle, they had a program. I think they still have a program. If you buy your DMC skeins from them, I think every maybe 100, you get like 10 free or something like that.
Well,
but you have to keep your little receipts and you put it in your little thing or they have a little card or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things work. Yeah.
They had it. I don't know if they still do, but they might.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been up to Thistle in a bit. I might go tomorrow.
There you go. So anyway, I tried gently to suggest to people they support local stores, but most people weren't having it. And then post a picture of your 5-foot-long receipt where you bought all this thread from Joann's, and you know, all I can think is, you know, you could have supported somebody's own personal small business with all that money, but it's a hard nut to crack. And
The only thing I went and bought is there's a muslin, a really lightweight muslin that I used behind the It's this here. Oops, I lost a floss.
Oh, don't do that.
Okay. This stuff, that it's a really lightweight muslin. And it's really easy to stitch through that I use on the back of my slow stitching projects.
Oh.
And I went and bought, they didn't have a lot when I bought it. And I think I just bought the rest of what I hadn't bought previously. Oh. That's all I bought. And then they gave me the end thing so that I can see so I can try to find it again in the future.
Oh, okay.
But it's 108 inches wide, and I have like 2 yards of it. So that's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And these are little projects.
Yeah. So you got plenty. Yeah.
I should. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I was like, oh, that's the one thing.
Yeah.
That I may not be able to find easily in the future. So let me go get it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a specialty thing.
Right. Sort of. Right. You can't, not necessarily find that anywhere. But even mm-hmm. like cording for putting projects on slate frames for the sides. The last time I got it at Joann's because I didn't think about anywhere else. And this time mm-hmm. I needed some more. I thought, oh, geez, I'm not going to go stand in line at Joann's for 2 yards of cording. And I thought, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm going to go to the local Ace Hardware, small business, family owned, local Ace Hardware. I walked in there and I said, I had a piece of the cord and I said, I need a piece of cord or nylon rope or whatever. I don't really care. Just can't be any thicker than this. Mm-hmm. She took me over to a whole array. And basically what I bought is something a little thicker than what you would use for window blinds.
Okay.
Good to go. Uh-huh. Good to go. Nice. Yep. And I got a lifetime supply for $5 and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, and I supported a local store. So.
Cause I mean, I guess what Joann's did is they combined fabrics with crafts.
Yeah.
You know, like where did people get all their crafty, like their beads and all that stuff before? Did Michaels always sell that stuff? Michaels has always had a little bit of a different inventory than Joann.
Right.
They've always been a little different.
There's always been something like that. Because what was it? Was it Leanne's? When I was much younger, I think it was Leanne's was kind of the big box store that had all kinds of needlework. Is that right? That doesn't seem right for a name, but it seems like there's always been one of those. But even back then.
Did Woolworths carry a lot? Were they kind of like an all-purpose general crafty?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a lot of that. But there were fabric stores.
Yeah. I remember Joann Fabrics.
Right. But there were a lot of them.
There were
a lot of them that were.
And they were in little strip malls.
Yeah.
They were.
There were a lot. Because even my mom used to sew when we were kids. She made a lot of our clothes. And I remember going into fabric stores where they had those big three-ring binders of patterns. What is it? Butterick and...
Oh, yeah.
You know, all...
And you go and look through.
No, right.
Joann's had those, too. Right. You know?
Yeah. But I remember we would go to the fabric store.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd run around the aisles while my mom was looking for patterns. But that's all they had. But that was like a local business.
Mm-hmm. I remember in Colorado Springs, too, there was Mill Outlet. Mill Outlet was a big, huge, kind of a warehousey place. But they had tons of fabric. Like, my mom bought my fabric there for a couple of, homecoming dresses and stuff that she made me when I was in junior high. And all the trims and laces to make fancy clothes, to make all kinds of clothes.
Yeah.
But they had huge rolls of stuff. It wasn't like little bolts. It was like gigantic.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're there anymore.
No, I think those all went away. Because I remember,
Yeah, so. Ruth's Stitchery has survived in Colorado Springs for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some of those, that have managed to survive, but... So,
but they've Joann's always been quilting with some cross stitch in there. They've got wool applique. And
Yeah. Well, Joann's is gone, and, I hope that forces... Yeah, I hope that forces people back to supporting small businesses.
Yeah. The thing I don't know what people are going to do is if you make apparel... like clothes and stuff, where are you going to get those fabrics? Like, nobody else sells that stuff.
Right. Well, and see, that
and
was...
And that's not the kind of thing you want to buy online, because you want to touch it. You have to see how it drapes. You need to touch it.
Yep. Well, that was the point of this article, was that particular aspect of it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And what a problem that is. Unless you're like in the garment district in New York, where, there's store after store. But
localized, though.
Right. Yeah. And I don't even think there's that kind of a thing in Chicago. I have no idea, but I wouldn't know. Yeah, that's what goes away. You know, and people would make the same argument for local needlework stores. Is I want to see the thread. I want to see what its texture is. I want to see the cloth. And yeah, you know, a lot of people just don't have it. Like Beth and Cindy, I mean, they have to drive long distances to get to a needlework store. And, you know, they, you know, that frustrates them a lot of the time because they can't, you know, just can't get stuff. So I don't know.
Yep, we're doing, I mean, we have Thistle here in Connecticut, right in the middle of the state.
Right.
And then we have quite a few quilt shops all over the place, so.
Yeah, you're okay. Well, I've got I've got two painted canvas stores and a cross-stitch store here in St. Louis. So, you know, I have, and when I lived in Illinois, there's several that are within an hour's drive. And, you know, that's nothing. I'll drive an hour. And all of them were, that, you know, I don't think anything of it. But anyway, I just, it kind of frustrated me. I couldn't get people to understand that you can order online and support local stores. You know, and it's like Kim has used that as a sales pitch thing more than once. You know, let Sassy Jack Stitchery be your local needlework store, order online. And, you know, like this Botany Bay thing. I didn't go in the shop. I mean, I just ordered it, but, you know, she put it all together and shipped it to me, and, yeah, it worked. It works.
Yeah.
Because there's talent on that end that knows what she knows what she's doing, and she put it together. So just, yeah, it just kind of frustrated me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get cheaper price per skein. Yeah. You get a cheaper price per skein, but are you really gaining? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. So, all right. Yeah. Once again, we run out of time, so we'll stop. Yep. Let Jennifer get back to quilting and wool applique. Yep.
I've got to do my pieces. I've got to do my week 7.
Oh, boy.
I have to trim them. See here. Oh. There it is.
Oh, that's how
I
we do it.
I sewed it. Yep, I sewed it. Now I have to trim it. And then I cut it. I cut these parts by hand because I don't like standing over the rotary cutter. It hurts my shoulders.
Oh.
And then you have to iron them open. And then you have to tear off the papers. And you have to cut off the little indie bits. And then you have to take a pretty picture and post it.
Oh, okay.
And then you get entered. You might win a prize.
I see. Oh, that's the incentive, huh? Okay.
Yeah. We like to win.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to that, and I'm going to go finish set up a couple projects and then do some cross-stitching. So there we have it.
Woo-hoo.
All right. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend is you can still join us. You can still join us in St. Louis. Get yourself registered. And either all weekend or just Saturday, patreon.com/fibertalk is how you can become a Patreon member. That's it. Thanks for listening. Bye.